You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast where we'll be looking ahead to British Champions Day at Ascot. A fantastic day of racing at Ascot on Saturday. We've also got Catterick, Stratford, Fosslass and Market Raisin in the afternoon, with Wolverhampton in the evening and an Irish fixture over at Cork. So plenty to enjoy for everyone on Saturday from 12:35pm. In the Racing Radio studio will be Ross Briley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Andy Holding to guide you through all of the action. But previewing it early with myself, Sam Norris, is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Pretty good, thank you, Sam.
Good. Looking forward to the weekend? It's a cracking day of racing on Saturday.
As always, competitive fields. The ground's not too bad for the end of the season. Obviously, the concern is in October we're going to be getting heavy ground. But touch wood, the ground's going to be okay in Glen Eagles. Declared, might even see him run. So
yeah, that'd be a novelty, wouldn't it?
Definitely.
Actually, see him back on a race course. Thought he'd retired, James.
Well, yeah, we've not seen him for such a long time now, but hopefully, I'll say the ground's not too bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we dive into the weekend's action, I want to talk about a performance that we saw yesterday. Obviously, it was the return to action at Punchestown of the top-rated chaser in Britain and Ireland last season. Don Cossack went off at 1-4, and if you'd backed a 1-4 shot, that's exactly how you'd want it to win. Wasn't off the bridle at any stage and just glided home, James.
Yeah, definitely. As 12 months ago, he came back for this race, which he won, but it wasn't that impressive, really. And yesterday, he beat Roy de May 12 lengths and did it very, very nicely. Like I say, never came off the bridle. Looked a nice, stronger, imposing horse than perhaps what he had been 12 months previously, and that's really exciting for the rest of the jump season. Obviously, Gordon Elliott, when he was a bumper horse, said he was perhaps the best he's ever had, and that may well be coming true. And I'd say interesting to see what happens. Obviously, the £1 million bonus could tempt him to come over into England perhaps a little bit earlier. But Gordon mentioned the Down Royal race, the GNY and Champion Chase. That was a possibility, but I'd say it'd be great to see how he gets on. He's better on probably the quicker ground. He's been seen out nice and early, and generally what we get at Cheltenham come March is pretty quick ground. So say really promising start, and great to see him back.
Yeah, excellent stuff. We'll dive into some of the news then as well. We'll start with the news that Oisin Murphy has all but been confirmed as Qatar Racing's number one man for next season, with Andrea Atzaini off to ride for Sheikh Obaid. Great opportunity for him.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, being number two has actually been a little bit tricky for Oisin this year. My dad's actually used him a fair bit. He's ridden quite a few winners for us, but number two, you very much don't know where you're going to be riding to, so it's quite hard to get outside rides. But taking over the number one job, obviously Andrea back to Roger Varian's stable to ride all the Varian horses, including those that Sheikh Mohammed Obaid Al Maktoum has moved to the yard, including postponed. I think it's a right decision for Andrea, but a great opportunity for Oisin, and hopefully Qatar has some nice horses to look forward to. Andrea obviously keeps the rides for the final day of the season, but Oisin got lightning spear, something to look forward to, and he's certainly a talent and deserves that opportunity.
Yeah, really nice opportunity for Oisin Murphy. From last year's Champion Apprentice then to this year's, obviously the battle between Tom Arcand and Jack Garrity has been really hotting up over the last few weeks. Tom Arcand currently has a 3-win lead over him. They've both got 4 rides today at Haydock, with Jack Garrity going over to Wolverhampton for an extra three this evening. But perhaps most notably, James, whilst Jack Garrity's riding the glamorous rides at Ascot, Tom Arcand goes to Catterick for the first time to pick up 5. That's a commitment to the title from young
Yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, definitely. And probably, realistically, Tom wouldn't have had any rides at Ascot anyway. But Jack Garrity's been getting a lot of opportunities for his boss, and probably the right decision for him. But realistically, Tom's 3 ahead now, and I think he's likely to win the championship.
Yeah. Have you been impressed with that pair this season?
Yeah, both have done well. Tom's very, very stylish. Such a short space of time, he only rode his first winner a year ago, riding that claim a little bit quick, but he's a talent. And Jack's improved a little bit longer in the saddle, and he's had a cracking year for Shafahe.
Yeah, looking forward to the pair of them next season. We'll move on then to take a look at that fantastic day of racing at Ascot. We've got four Group 1s on the card. We'll preview all of them. Now we'll start with the 120. Of course, this is the sprint stakes of the six furlongs. 20 of them down to contest it. We've got early prices on this one, the day of recording. Muhura is the 2-1 favourite. 5-1 about Twilight Sun. The Tin Man, 7-1. 9-1 Strathburn. Danzano is 14-1 and it's 16s. By those, Muhura has already recorded three Group 1 successes this season, but has the unbeaten Twilight Sun to contend with here, James?
Yeah, fascinating contest. 20 runners, strong field. I think it's the first year at Group 1 status, so certainly got the runners it deserves. Muhura freshened up after a busy summer, 69 days off a track. Coarseness in its form, I think he is definitely the one to beat, but he does have a very interesting rival in Twilight Sun, who is unbeaten, going up through the handicap ranks. Henry Candy is being patient, and he got his Group 1 last time out, so not going to be easy. And for me, I think I'd probably just edge towards Twilight Sun. Still 20, might not be a great draw for him. No, that is the only concern, but we'll have to see how racing goes. Muhura is in 12, more in the centre, which could be better. But I think ability-wise, Twilight Sun's perhaps the one to be on. Interesting one is the one that's been supplemented, the Tin Man, who won nicely 15 days ago over course and distance. James Fanshawe wouldn't have put him in if he didn't think he had a chance. And he's probably one for each way money. But a real cracking sprint. Those at a massive price would be Lancelot Lack, who won pretty nicely at Kempton the other day. He was third in the Wokingham at the track. I think he was eighth in the July Cup. So he's run well into some good races. And I think he's at a 50-1 shot. He could run well at a nice price.
Okay, a couple of thoughts then. But you're sticking with the Twilight Sun to record
Twilight
his
Sun will be
sixth
the selection.
Victory.
I just hope the draw doesn't hamper him in stall 20.
Okay, Twilight Sun for James then in the 120. We'll move ahead to the 155. This is for the fillies and mares over a mile and a half. We've got 12 runners down to go to post here, and Covert Love heads the bill up 4-1. 9-2 about Candara Lira. C. Khaleesi is 13-2. 13-2 about Simple Verse. Tapestry 8-1. Journey 8-1. Madam Chang is 14-1 with the judgment winner Arabian Queen. Bigger prices for the rest of them. Covert Love obviously topping the bill here. She won the Irish Oaks, and she won very nicely on Arc Day under a bit of pressure from Jazzy Top, but found again, James.
Yeah, definitely. Real good attitude Covert Love showed when winning at Longchamp, and I was seriously impressed with that attitude. But I think she's better on a quicker surface, and the ground's still going to be a little bit dead tomorrow at Ascot, and that'll be the concern for me. Hugo Palmer has said if it was soft, she wouldn't run. But like I say, she's got that great attitude, which is always going to stand her in good stead. Arabian Queen, we cannot forget about her, because she did beat Golden Horn in the Jedmonte. I know a lot was in her favour, but she's been freshened up after disappointing behind Trev, and I could certainly see her going quite close on the Sylvester Souza. Perhaps she might be overpriced. C. Khaleesi, there will be the selection for Francois Duman, ridden by Mikhail Barcelona. Good third last time out. 34 days off a track, comes here reasonably fresh, and C. Khaleesi will be the selection. Got to mention Simple First, who won the St. Ledger for Rafe Beckett and Andrea Rezzini in Qatar Bloodstock. Mile and a half could be on the sharp side. I think she wanted all of that mile six at Doncaster, and I think she might just like a little bit of toe drop back to a mile and a half. But selection will be C. Khaleesi for Francois Duman, and hopefully she can build on that recent third.
C. Khaleesi then getting the pick for James, a 13-2 shot at the time of recording. The third race we'll come to on today's podcast then is the 230. This is the British Champions Mile, of course, and some fantastic contenders lining up for this one. Solo is the 11-10 favourite at time recording. 15-8 about Glen Eagles, fingers crossed the ground is in his favour. 7-1 about Cody Bear. Territories is 8-1. Elm Park 16s, 20s bar those. Hopefully here, James, we're going to see a showdown of the two top milers that we've seen this season.
Hopefully we finally get it. Glen Eagles, obviously him and Solo were pretty closely matched in the betting when they were due to run the Sussex Stakes. We didn't see Glen Eagles, where Solo went on to win quite comfortably. And realistically, if Glen Eagles doesn't run, Solo's got a very good chance in a Group 1. Once again, he's a cracking gelding, the five-year-old. He's had a long season, though. He made his debut back in March, and Freddie Head's given him a break. 80 days off a track since his last success, and hopefully he's still fresh enough to do himself justice. But if he is, I think he's by far the class act. Even if Glen Eagles takes part, I think he'll be very, very hard to beat. Like you say, hopefully we will actually see Glen Eagles back on the track. It's now 123 days since we last saw him, and that's got to be a little bit of concern. Is he going to be in the same form as what he was before? Will he handle the ground? So many question marks about Glen Eagles now. You couldn't really back him in much conviction, but he is a backable price. If you think he is a bit of a superstar like Bayador proclaim him to be, then he could be a great price. But realistically, He's going to struggle, and like I said, whether we even see him. Cody Bayer is the interesting one. He's the one that could perhaps give Solo a race, because he's done his last two races extremely nicely. Won at Salisbury despite navigating both sides of the track, and it was pretty impressive at Goodwood last time out. Slight concern, he did hang right hand a little bit. He can't afford to do that Ascot, because he will end up on that stands rail, and it might not be the best place to be. So, interesting race, but the one I'm going to go for is Solo. I think he can be very, very hard to beat.
Okay, Solo for James then in that 2:30. We'll move ahead to the final race on today's podcast then. This one comes up at 3:05. It is the British Champion Stakes itself for the middle distance horses. And they bet like this the time recording. Jacobs is 5-4. It's 4-1 about found. Vadamos is 5-1. The Corsican is 8-1. 14-1 bar those. He's got a tricky draw to overcome, though, Jacobs, albeit for his well-found in the market, James.
Yeah, not an easy stall 12. Luckily for him, his pacemaker's the one in stall 13, so hopefully he can spread the field out a little bit and be able to help Jacobs slot in quite nicely, a little bit like Golden Horn did. He had a wide draw, but everything went right for Golden Horn. He managed to negotiate a gap just behind the pacemaker, Shalar, and hopefully John Gosden will be hopefully having something similar happen to him tomorrow. But that is a concern, because you're much on the bend on that round course at Ascot. It is not easy. And at 5-4, I probably wouldn't be backing him at that price, because I've not been entirely convinced how strong the races are that he won in behind. Obviously, Golden Horn, he's beaten a fair way in the Derby, and then he won the Irish equivalent from Storm the Stars. But so I'm not convinced how strong the three-year-old generation actually is, Golden Horn apart. So I wouldn't be backing him at 5-4. He's got a couple of interesting rivals. Found, obviously, got badly hampered in the arc, but she still ran a decent enough race to finish ninth. As long as that's not taken the edge off her, she's certainly one to consider in the market. But the one I'm going to go for is a race in history, who was extremely impressive when winning at Windsor last time out. Hat-trick this season, and he goes on a bit of ease in the ground. I just think from stall one, he's got a cracking draw. He could well be the one to beat. So race in history will be the selection for the Champion Stakes. I think he's got a cracking chance.
James then, siding with racing history for Saeed Bin Saroor and James Doyle, going for a Godolphin runner, but not the one you'd perhaps think. It's 14-1 at the time recording for racing history. Just sum up, please, one more time, James, your four selections for the action on Champions Day at Ascot.
Yeah, in the 120, the Champion Sprint, we're going for Twilight Sun, the unbeaten horse for Henry Candy. Ryan Moore takes over today. As long as stall 20 isn't a concern, I think it's got an absolutely cracking chance. In the fillies and mares, we're going to go for C. Khaleesi for Francois Dumas. I think the ground could just be a little bit too soft for Curvet Love. Despite that cracking attitude she's got, I'll be taking a chance on the Dumas horse. In the Champions Mile, I'm afraid Solo, I think, will be very, very hard to beat. Just hope we get to see Glen Eagles in action. And then finally, in the Champion Stakes, I've gone for a race in history for a Godolphin, and I think he could be the one to surprise the first string, Jack Hobbs.
Excellent stuff. There we are, James Millman's thoughts then on the season finale at Ascot on Saturday. And remember to tune in to Racing Radio from 12:35 with Ross Briley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Andy Holding. They'll be bringing you that Ascot card in full alongside Catterick in the afternoon. There's three National Hunt fixtures as well, at Stratford, Fosslass and Market Raisin. Then in the evening, we're on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton, and there's an Irish card over at Cork. So do join us on Saturday afternoon on Racing Radio. Plenty to enjoy. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, James, and best of luck at Ascot tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.